lips? Wow, I think God deserves a little better than that. Is there praise on your lips? Yeah. Good morning and welcome to New Crossing Church, especially if you're visiting with us. The rest of you are not welcome. And if you're with us for the first time, there's also outlines. You can find them on the PDF online or grab one. And if you're also visiting and don't have a Bible and you want one, if you're like me, like the tactile, there's free Bibles in the back. We don't charge you for those because God didn't charge us to give us his word. So we're in a series called The Paradigm Shift in Luke. Do not be turning there yet. I kind of want to get at this a little differently, but let me ask this question before we kind of jump into things. Just curious, what's your IQ level? Could you just shout them out for me, please? 11, bazillion. Somewhere between 11 and a bazillion. How's your EQ? I'm talking about emotional quotient. So the really important question this morning is, what is your GQ? And no, I'm not talking about your looks. What is your gratitude quotient? And you see, 2 weeks ago, because Jill and I were in Colorado the week before, preached through in verses 1 through 19 in chapter 17, Jesus had shown us that there are seeds to be planted in God's garden if there's really going to be anything beautiful and growing in our lives spiritually. Because the church really is like a garden where there's meant to be people, souls that flourish and that are beautiful. And we looked at the seeds of forgiveness, the seeds of faith. It takes seeds of humility. And the last one, the last story in that section, we learned about seeds of gratitude. And even before I finished preparing and preaching that message, God put on my heart that we needed to come back to gratitude. Because we live in a time and culture, and the Holy Spirit just prompted this need because we have experienced so much hardship. We have experienced so much anger. We have seen so much fear. And it's not just the world, but in the church too. And there is nothing I can think of better than a high GQ to be able to deal with these kinds of things. And so let's pray, but be asking yourself how much, I like that we sang that, Karen, how much praise is on your lips? What's more on your lips? Your prayers and petitions, your complaints, your hurt. How much praise is on your lips? So let's pray for praise, shall we? So Lord Jesus, you came sowing seeds in us, the seeds of your word, which are living and true and powerful, able to make a difference. You are the word of God, personified Jesus. And you came to save us from our sins. You came to save us from a world of hurt. You came bringing forgiveness and eternal life, and you came to save us from ourselves sometimes. So we ask that by your Holy Spirit, you enter into this message. Lord, what man or woman is qualified or worthy to preach your word? But it just shows your grace that you use such ordinary people to do these things. And for that, I'm thankful and honored to be able to try and bring you to the people you love so much here, sitting here in person and online. And all of God's people said, amen. So we are in a time where there is even, we have a generation called the entitlement generation. And it's kind of the millennials, the young people growing up. And I'm not going to get into, you know, all the are they Y, are they X, or anything. But we have a generation. But we have a young generation. And what that means is that those who are entitled feels like the world owes them a good job. The world owes them happiness. The world should be risk-free. They're entitled to security. They're entitled to happiness. They're entitled to have affirmation because you agree with them. Right? And it's so easy in a world of entitlement, as we saw 2 weeks ago, to take offense. You can take offense or hurt when others do not give you what you feel you're entitled to. Anybody connecting? Does this make sense? How many of you feel entitlement? Right? The thing is that the more offense we carry, the fewer praise we can offer God. The fewer praises we can offer God. The larger our entitlement, the smaller our gratitude. Let me say that again. The larger our entitlement, the smaller our gratitude. But you know what? Entitlements are not new to this millennial generation. Maybe our generation, whatever that is, should take responsibility for a generation of entitlement because we ourselves have it ourselves. Maybe as parents, we've kind of stopped teaching our children or grandma teaching their grandkids, say thank you for that brownie that you don't deserve, but I worked hard. I'm entitled to a thank you. But I don't think we can pin this on a generation and then take offense when they're not grateful. Maybe we have not role modeled gratitude in our own lives to our children and teens. Are we teaching them? Are we role modeling it ourselves? All of life is a gift from God. It's not all good. There is bad things that happen in our lives. But all of life is a gift. Every breath you breathe is a gift. Because in Colossians it says it's Jesus who sustains us. He gives us our breath. Imagine with every breath thanking God for it. So my point this morning, continuing this idea that we are God's garden, God's people is garden, he's trying to sow seeds. Continuing that idea, what I want us to take away this morning is that the life that flourishes is one lived in great faith while in continual praise to the one who saves. Everything else is weeds. So, 2 points this morning. First is go with faith in Jesus and return with loud praise. It's that simple. If you could live your life, you know, just with that simple go in faith with Jesus, whatever he tells and commands you, return with loud praise. Your life will flourish. Amen. If you get that, we can just go home now. Except I would love us as a people, as a church, to give God praise. It's one thing to learn it, hear it, examples, but to do it. And so that's why the Spirit's wanting us to come back to this so that we can give loud praise. And so be thinking, what is your gratitude this morning for God? So I'm going to take a roundabout way of demonstrating how this is not a new problem, and it's a challenge that has been for thousands of years, hundreds of generations. And if you want to follow with me, be turning to 2 Kings chapter 5, because there's something really cool that Jesus is doing in the passage that we will ultimately get to. And so starting with this idea of go with faith in Jesus, we go and do you understand, especially those new, that Jesus has always existed. He has always lived. He was there with the Father and the Holy Spirit creating. And so, and he even, I believe, makes appearances in the Old Testament, but that's a different passage and message. But be turning to 2 Kings chapter 5. And I'd like us to just read the first three verses. And so, Lord, may your Holy Spirit open up our hearts and our minds to the things you want us to see and hear. So Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now, the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, Would that my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy. And so, under, I'm sure, the wife's prompting, Naaman, and leprosy is a skin disease. It's a catchword for not just, we have now a technical definition for that disease, meaning one thing, but in these days, it was anything of any kind of skin disease, and it would make you unclean. And so Naaman goes on the prompting of his wife, which came through the encouragement of a little Jewish Israel girl. And then we read in verse 9 through 11, so Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha was God's prophet. He was an Israelite that God anointed to speak his heart in words to those in need of hearing them. And Elisha was living in the region of Samaria at this time. And Elisha, verse 10, sent a message to him saying, so imagine this great commander, the highest commander of another nation, arriving at this prophet's house, and it wasn't in a gated community. And he arrives, and Elisha does not come out, but he sends a messenger to him saying, go. What did he say? Everybody, what did Elisha say? Go. That's important. Because that's our first point this morning is go with faith in Jesus. So he said, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean. You shall be clean. But Naaman was angry. Why? Offended. Entitled to a little more respect, maybe. But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of his Lord, the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. And then he goes on to complain. He's even offended by what the cure is. You know, like the Jordan is a dirty river. We have many better rivers than this muddy Jordan, and I'm to dip myself in that. But his servant convinces him to have faith. And so he does. He washes himself, and he discovers that he becomes clean, because it says in verse 14, so he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I'd like actually to continue the story with verse 15. And then he returned to the man of God. So did you see? Go in faith with whatever the Lord says to you. Second step is return with praise. So then he returned, it says, to the man of God and all his company, and he came and stood before him, and he said, behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. So accept now a present from your servant. In verse 16, but Elijah said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And simply in that, you know, this man is coming out of the world and assumes he's showing gratitude, but he wants to pay for it. But Elisha will not receive it because God's mercy cannot be bought. It's a gift. And also, the miracle did not come from Elisha. It was from God. Only God has the power. And sometimes he uses ordinary men and women to bring a gift of mercy, right? Isn't it kind of cool? Now turn to Luke, but not our passage. Luke chapter 4. Jesus, by this time, has been born, baptized, and he's entering into the ministry his father has called him to. He has spoken that the Spirit is on him to proclaim good news and set the captives free and recovery of those who are blind. And all these are spiritual metaphors, some of them physical, and to help the oppressed. But in this same message, did you know his first sermon, recorded sermon, that he mentions Naaman by name? Isn't that kind of cool? We won't read it all, but let's look at verses 27 through 24. And he's speaking in a synagogue to Jewish people. And they love, by the way, what they just heard. What he has spoken to them up to this point, it's like, yeah, come on, God, you're of the Lord's favor upon us. Bring it on. We want it. We deserve it. We're under Roman captivity. Life's hard. Bring it on. Jesus says to them, and there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet of Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. Ding, ding, ding. Not one of you. What's interesting is Jesus is pointing out that there were many lepers among God's people. And God had this prophet in Syria, or the Syrian came and he was in Samaria, and only this man was healed. Why not all of those of God's people? Because there was no faith. And that's the first point. It's a life of faith, trusting in the things God teaches us and tells us and calls us to. And Jesus then says, and then it says, after he said, only Naaman the Syrian. And verse 28, when they heard these things, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath. That's what a heart, the soil of your heart filled with offense and entitlement creates. And they actually tried to throw him off a cliff. Are you taking this to heart? So now, let's turn to our passage. Are you ready? It's about time, Craig. All right. Luke 17. We'll read verses 11 through 14. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And you know, and just stop right there is that we actually find Jesus and his disciples traveling between two worlds. One is pagan, filled with Samaritans and foreigners. The other one is Galilee, filled with God's believers, the children of Israel. I like that Jesus does that. He didn't hide out in Israel, Galilee, Jerusalem. He walks that line between two worlds. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who at a distance had lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he came, or when he saw them, he said to them, what did he say? There it is again. Go. Go and show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. All right, stop there. So we need Jesus. We need him to find us sometimes between two worlds. And the church is meant to be a place where the world is coming out of a world of hurt. And it's messy because all of us at one time were in the world. We weren't born Christian. It's when we took that first step of faith in Jesus that we begin to find new life. And this needs to be the place where people can be messy but find mercy and grace to grow. Amen? We're all bringing the junk. In a sense, we're all pagans bringing our misunderstandings, our hurts, our wounds, the lies that we've been taught in the world. We're bringing our offenses. We're bringing our entitlements. And if Jesus can offer a little mercy, I think we need to also. The life that flourishes is one lived in great faith. So we find Jesus, and they say, "Jesus, Master." And so they knew he was coming. They'd got somehow word, and lepers were not allowed to be a part of the community. They were isolated. Think about, you know, man, how many of us come out of a world feeling isolation, especially during a pandemic, needing companionship? And they say, "Jesus, Master," they were waiting because they understood that Jesus had the power over illness and could take away their pain. They needed him. And that's right. We should need Jesus. Gratitude, though, before we experience gratitude, needs to be preceded by faith. Did you notice what it said? As they went. So when he said this, they weren't healed, and then they went to the priest. They had to take those first steps of like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to believe in him. I'm going to trust him. And so he sends them to the priest who would verify their cleansing, that they had been cleansed. But also another thing, it also then allowed them to come back into the community, come back to the lives they had. What act of faith is Jesus calling you to? Where is he wanting you to trust him right now? What is that step that you will need to take? To follow Jesus, we must have faith, have the faith to do what he says before we will know it will even work. We want faith to be, after we receive the evidence, then I can say I have faith. But that's not faith. Again, what is the challenge? What is the thing that's going to take the most trust? Life is a gift from God to be lived in faith. Second point, return with loud praise. Verses 15 through 19. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, did what? Turned back or return. He returned. And that's the second point. Return with loud praise. He turned back praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And then its own little sentence. Now, he was a Samaritan. He wasn't. Implying the other nine were the Jews that knew God, had centuries of worshiping him, Now, but this one leper was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Only one returns. 9 Jews. Why did they not return? They knew it was through Jesus their God had healed them. Why does gratitude missing in our hearts and lives? And certainly we can say it's just self-centeredness. I mean, you know, one of them was really excited to get back to his wife and kids. Is there anything wrong with that? No. Another one wanted to get back to his job. He had bills to pay and debt. Another one just wanted to get back with his buddies, you know, and have fun. You know, it's like, all, you know, so certainly there could be that, but certainly there was maybe entitlement in their hearts that we're worshipers of God. We're the children of Abraham. We're entitled to be healed. It's about time God has looked upon us. Maybe they were just missing their old lives, and they couldn't wait for the priest to say, yep, you can now return to your old life. But there was one Samaritan, a foreigner. And the thing about Samaritans is they were despised by Jews because Jews felt they were corrupted. They were pagans. They're half-breeds, you know, half-Jewish, half-other nations. So they were looked down upon. Isn't it interesting how suffering overcomes our prejudices, our racism? We should be connecting together because there's only one God of all nations and people, men and women. So like Naaman, this one leper realized he had an encounter with God, that God himself had taken notice of him and showed him mercy. One was humble and fell on his face at the feet of Jesus. And when you do that, he raises you up. One leper loudly praised God while the others were silent. Sometimes we have to step back from our circumstances and realize, whoa, God's in them. That's what providence means. Kind of like, whoa, certain things lined up in a way that could only be God. You ever have that happen? Was providence that Jesus chose to come their way, or was it just an accident? Did Jesus ever go anywhere accidentally? Wasn't it providence with Naaman that God gave? Did you notice that in 2 Kings? God made him victorious against who? Who was he victorious against? Israel, God's own people. I'm offended, God. I belong to you. How can you allow anything in life to happen against me, right? And it was providence that a little Jewish girl ended up serving Naaman's wife. He used a little girl to bring a man salvation and faith. How cool is that, right? So Jesus heard the 10's cry for mercy, and he showed them love just by showing up into their lives. Jesus responded to their need and demonstrated power to heal them. He doesn't always, but Jesus and who he is and his love and power in our lives never changes. Amen? I like that Jesus says to the foreigner, rise, go your way. your faith has made you well. Do you know that phrase, made you well, comes from one word in the Greek, which means sozo, or the word is sozo. So if you were to look in your footnotes, your faith has saved you. You see, that word is also used earlier and later in Luke of people that didn't receive physical healings, but they received salvation. That word does dual purpose. It can be used of physical healing, but it can be used of healing of deeper things like the heart and the spirit. Has there been sozo in your life? Have you been sowing seeds of gratitude to Jesus that will bring sozo of deeper places? What would you choose? The healing on the outside or something deeper on the inside? You see, 9 received their physical healing, but only 1 received Jesus and his salvation. Did you catch that? 1 entered into a relationship with the one that saves. 9 did not turn back, but returned to their old lives. But 1 returned to Jesus and received new life. Amen? 9 experienced healing of their skin, but only 1 experienced sozo of his spirit. Amen? There was a man who couldn't grow a healthy garden. And I'm just going to give you a little parable here. And what he found, that there was like huge dead spots of grass that would show up in his lawn. And then those bare spots would then turn into weeds, because weeds love where there's nothing growing. And it became just a yard of weeds. Then one night, and it deeply troubled him, and he complained bitterly about it, and an angel met him in a dream and said, "Your lawn mirrors your heart, which is filled with offenses, entitlements, and bitterness. The soil is poisoned, and only weeds will grow because of your complaints." "What can I do?" the man said in his dream. "Look for the goodness of the love of God in your life and offer him your thanks," said the angel. "Then you will sow seeds that will begin to grow gratitude, and your lawn will begin to reflect that and be healthy." It went great for a while, because things were going okay, and the man would give praise to God and gratitude, and the lawn would begin to grow. But then life doesn't always go as it's planned, and things weren't right at work, and he was taking offenses and losing friends, and it's like, this isn't right. The bare spots begin to come back, and the weeds continue to grow. Again, in a dream, the angel, because of his complaints to God, saying, "I praised you when things were going well," meets him in the dream and says, "You have the love of God, the friendship of Jesus, and the presence of the Spirit within you. The Holy Trinity is continually in communion with you. That is your blessing. Your Lord Jesus went to the cross and suffered horrible crucifixion just because he wants you with him in eternity. His heart was broken when you were hurt by that person last week you put your trust in. Did you not hear him weeping with you? Did you not sense the comfort of the Spirit himself to carry you through the next day, to live it with faith and gratitude in the one who created you?" The angel continued, if only the children of God could grasp the favored position they hold in the Father's heart, we angels of heaven cannot grasp it, but only sit in wonder of who you are, the intimacy you have with God, and all that you will inherit in heaven when Jesus returns. And the man woke up from his dream. A life of giving praise. Sometimes we were in Colorado. Sometimes we went to the Garden of the Gods, and there was this, just, it was amazing. And you look up and you see these big things in life, and you can say, just thank you for that. That is grand and amazing. But do you ever stoop down onto your knees and humble yourself like I did this week and discover a flower that you would have passed over, and in its own way, in its delicacy, is so grand that it makes your heart soar as much as the Colorado mountains. It's too easy, and I've experienced this too often, of men, women, families coming to church because they need God's healing and receive it through some of you, and then leave to go back to their old lives. Don't deny, and I am not saying, do not deny or ignore the pain or hurt or fear that you have in life. The very first steps may be changing your attitude and belief systems from entitlement and taking offenses. Ask yourself, what's driving that? Maybe it's realizing there are false beliefs that are driving these negative emotions. Maybe it's the value you're seeking to give yourself. When you realize you don't need to, you are precious, you are made in God's image, He loves you. That's where you find your value. Identifying the gifts when they come and not miss them. So recognize the kindness of the giver. And sometimes the giver is a man or woman or a child that comes into your life when you most need that. Where is God blessing you materially, or more importantly, emotionally, spiritually in your heart? And certainly we need to humble ourselves more and not feel like we're entitled to everything. My father, as many of you know, died in March. And Jill also, during this pandemic, lost her mother. And we have certainly experienced many of the things you have, you know, reduction in income, expenses, seems like people you care about disappearing, things not going the way you want, the isolation. There are many things like that. But in that time, and my own father, whom I loved very much, we had our troubles too, because in my steps of faith and following Jesus took offense and would not come to visit our family for a number of years. And God put it on my heart, you take the first step, though you've done no wrong. Took me 3 years of prayer and persuasion to get him to move here. And he did. Moved him during the middle of the pandemic. And then in 1 year to the month, he dies. That's not what I was expecting or wanting. I was looking forward to many years of him being with us and his grandkids and seeing his great-grandchild born, who was born 7 days first day of spring after his death. But you know, I've learned the only way I could get through these times that all of you are going through also is offering praise. One of the things I loved a lot, you know, you can look at the great mountains and, you know, it's like, oh, God used my dad's material things to bless half a dozen families in this church in need. We have a missionary that has to leave the mission field, and we're able to help through my dad's death be a blessing to them coming here with only what they could fit in their suitcases and two teenage sons, right? It's like, how, you know, do we pause and say, it's not what I wanted, but God, I praise you for the little things you're doing. And then one of them is this. And in visiting one of the families, there, the mother came out and gave me this color, this book of pages colored by Anna. And it says, Mr. Craig. And it's Doc McStuffins. And she told me that Anna's 6 years old, and that she'd worked all week on that when she heard that your dad died. And if I turn through the pages, you know, it's just, there's many pages here, and it's just, I love it. You know, it's like, how sweet is that, right? And her father taught her how to draw a landscape, so she was very proud that there's a landscape behind the family. And she learned how to draw birds. And I especially love that some of the birds are able to fly upside down. In the last page, just a hug from Doc McStuffins, right? And you could think, yeah, but that doesn't measure up to all the pain and suffering I'm going through. Are you kidding me? What a treasure. I thank God for Anna. His angels come in all kinds of forms. Amen. So what's your GQ level? I'm going to close with a passage from Hebrews. There's popular ones on gratitude, giving thanks continually from Thessalonians. But in Hebrews chapter 13, it captures something important. Verse 15. Through him, then, through the Lord, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. And so there is a sacrifice of praise. Do you realize that your praise is a sacrifice to God? It's not easy. Children, it takes a lot of work to teach a child to say thank you. They may not even really understand why, but they know if they're going to get that extra slice of pie, they better say thank you. But it's a start, right? And so I love that in this, the offer of God is a sacrifice of continual praise. Do you find yourself all day long? I grew up in a home where there was a lot of criticalness. And there was a lot of, you know, suffering and hurt, you know, that went into my own mom's life. And so maybe you didn't get that role model, but with Jesus Christ, you can change. And I find the only way I've gotten through these years is beginning my day with thanks and praise. And the tougher life is, then I even write them into my journals, because I can't continue without that praise. And I try to remember to praise him as much as I try to remember to pray. But then in verse 16, there's two sacrifices. It says, do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. So there's this gratitude is a sacrifice of praise and a sacrifice of mercy and kindness to others in need. This is what grows a life that will flourish. Came across Denzel Washington, and he captures it also very well. And actually, two-time Academy Award winner, and I just happened to see a movie by him. The last movie I saw was by him. And so I just thought it was fitting to kind of come to a close with what he has to say on this topic. And he is a Hollywood star who believes in God. And he will speak up for what God has done in his life. And he says, actually, and he even says he reads his Bible daily. But I want to give you a quote. He says, give thanks for blessings every day. every day. Embrace gratitude. Encourage others. It is impossible to be grateful and hateful at the same time. I pray that you put your slippers away under your bed at night, so that when you wake up in the morning, you have to start on your knees to find them. And while you're down there, say thank you. A bad attitude is like a flat tire. Until you change it, you're not going anywhere. So again, the life that flourishes is one lived in great faith while in continual praise of the one who saves. Everything else really is weeds. So I want us to close with a responsive reading. It comes from Psalm 107. And in this psalm, we find there are four callings of God to praise, repeated verbatim. And there are four groups of people. One is a wandering, lost people that are called to praise him. Another is prisoners. And we're all prisoners, start out life prisoners in some way or another, called to praise him. And then there are those who lived their life foolishly and brought suffering upon them, you know, by their sins, and they're called to praise him. And then finally, there are those who work in the marketplace and very busy, called to praise him. And what's interesting is the first two groups, as we do this responsive reading, are called to praise him in response to what God's done for them. But I want you, as we read this, to notice the last two are called to praise God just because of who he is. So even when you cannot find reason, praise him. Ready? Shall we stand up? And I'll read the repeating praise, call to praise and gratitude, and then we'll all read out loud the response. So I begin. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man, for he satisfies the longing soul. And the hungry soul he fills with good things. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. He shatters the doors of bronze and cuts into the bars of iron. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. And let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his deeds in songs of joy. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of man. Let them extol him in the congregation of the people and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Amen. Let's pray. And then you're going to have an opportunity to give your own praise and worship. We're going to end the evening, morning with two songs, but I want to have an open mic, and also we have a foreigner here this morning to give praise for the way in which God has met her and her life. She's a believer, but just a visitor to New Crossing Church, and it just seemed a perfect morning to do that. But why don't you bow your heads first? Let me pray for you, and then we'll move into our time of praise. And I want you to know that this open mic time is not recorded, so whatever you share will not be in the virtual world forever. So feel courage. Only God in your church is going to hear it. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you. We are sons and daughters that you love. We come not just with gratitude because all our brokenness and wounds are healed. We come to you in our hurts, physically, hurts emotionally, hurts spiritually, praising you, giving gratitude because of who you are. Without you doing one thing, you deserve, you are worthy of our worship. And Father, may you be pleased as we bring our praises to you. I ask, Jesus, that you meet each woman and man in this place and online. Meet them between the two worlds and help them by your Holy Spirit see how you have been present, even in those places that may go back to childhood where life was dark and frightening and that you were there. Let them hear your weeping over their wounds. Let them hear your call to salvation. Let there not be one heart that misses out on the realization that a life is a gift from God to be lived in faith. I pray that every heart here will begin to flourish like a green lawn filled with flowers where there's no room for bitterness and offense and entitlement. I pray, Lord Jesus, pull the weeds from the soil of our hearts. We need you. We need you to save us. I pray for a sozo in our lives. And may you be pleased with the praise of our lips. In Jesus' name, amen.